Locked On Podcast Network and State Farm Insurance present Paving the Way, a new series highlighting important voices across Locked On's network. Every month, our host Kanani Stevens will showcase other Locked On hosts who come from underserved communities to hear the challenges they face to become a sports broadcast personality. Who will be paving the way this episode? Find out now.
Welcome into the first episode of Paving the Way, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network presented by State Farm. This is a podcast that shines a light on our Locked On hosts from marginalized communities and backgrounds. I'm Kainani Stevens. Throughout the year, we're going to be talking to our hosts to learn more about them and their experiences. On this episode, we'll be talking to Jeff Garcia. He is our host of Locked On Spurs. Jeff has been a lifelong Spurs fan, and he grew up in San Antonio. We find out about his background, how that shaped his career in sports journalism. Welcome into our inaugural edition of Paving the Way. Jeff Garcia from Locked On Spurs is joining us. Jeff, thank you so much. I'm really excited to kind of hear a little bit of your background, obviously, and find out a little bit about how you got to where you are. You're from San Antonio, so I can imagine the Spurs being the only show in town. That was a big part of your childhood growing up.
That was the only part of my childhood growing up. That was it. There was nothing more, nothing less. Sure, you had your minor league teams, your USFLs, you know, your minor league hockey, but it's really the silver black. And that's really all it is. So everybody grew up with the Spurs. I'm old enough to remember when they moved from the ABA to the NBA. I remember Hemisphere Arena just being one floor and everybody was allowed to smoke inside the arena. Okay. So I kind of grew up with them. The Spurs are just 1 year older than me. So we kind of grew up together. So they've been a part of my life since birth. And here I am now on the Locked On Network, hosting Locked On Spurs. And my path to where I am now, writing for one of the Tegna outlets in San Antonio, Kins 5 San Antonio. If you had told me this when I was a teenager, I would have said, nah, you're full of it. There's no way. And here I am.
Tell us a little bit about San Antonio. I know it's the only show in town, but obviously there's a big Mexican population there. Yeah. And kind of what's the fan base like?
Well, it is a very, it's predominantly Mexican Hispanic. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, to the point where the Spurs have adopted the culture from Fiesta Nights to one of their alternate jerseys this year is a Mexican serape design on the uniform itself. So to say it's embedded within the community, it's embedded within the community. Very hardworking. The socioeconomic dynamics of the city is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's middle class, but it's heavier lower class, mm-hmm. and the upper class is very, very slim. It's your upper one percenters in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. So there's a big disparity in San Antonio. And credit the Spurs, for adopting the culture. Mm-hmm. Look at their hashtag. It's called Por Vida. That means for life. And so the Spurs for life. So they really try to embrace that culture. And I appreciate that from them. But growing up, you see people of color, predominantly my color, really. I mean, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I mean, I went to an all boys military high school. That's okay. Where I went to. And it's interesting because had I gone to the public high school, it would have been a majority of kids that look like me. I went to an all boys military high school and it was all kids that did not look like me. Mm-hmm. I was a minority in a very heavy minority city in a high school. Mm-hmm. So but as much as that was different for me, because, in school it was, I don't see you guys in my block. And I come back home, it's, hey, these are my friends. So, but I embraced it because it forced me to adapt. Mm-hmm. And it forced me to adapt to so many cultures to the point now where I'm actually based in New York City and San Antonio. I have two residences there. And New York City just really opened my eyes. I mean, there's running and then there's sprinting. And that's what New York City is, sprinting. You have to adapt to everything. So, but I think it's made me well-rounded, if anything. It forced me to adapt fast to different cultures and different thoughts and different people of color.
It's always good to kind of be around those different communities and, mm-hmm. and see how they live and kind of understand that perspective. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned that you kind of experienced that in high school, you experienced that now. when you were growing up and kind of figuring out what you wanted to do, and obviously the Spurs were always in that mix. When did you kind of decide you wanted to, be involved with the media and kind of covering this team day to day?
Yeah, I think it was the first time I moved to New York City, and a lot of homesickness. It was really what it was. My first time really away from Texas, or let alone San Antonio. Now, I had lived away before, but it wasn't to the extent of, all right, this is going to be my permanent residence for more than a decade. I got a little homesick, and there was an advertisement for a little startup blog that said, hey, we're going to write about the Spurs. This is new thing called blogging. This is the very beginning roots of it. Early 2000s is when I really started going. So I said, sure, why not? And I just took a leap of faith and I tried it. And sure, it wasn't the greatest. I look back at those articles. I'm like, oh my God, what was I doing? But I got a taste of it. And I got the feedback was coming back positive. It wasn't a lot of, hater comments, nothing like that. It was like, hey, good point. I like this. Who are you? Wow, you're really capturing what it is to be a fan. So you fast forward. And now, mind you, I'm still based in New York City at this time. And the NBA headquarters is not that far from me. It's on Broadway. And I would run into some of the people there at events. I would see them, the NBA 3-on-3 events I would go to watch. And I said, you know what? I'm going to ask them if I can go to the NBA Summer League. Some little blogger out in New York from San Antonio is going to ask them. And I applied. And at that time, I think they asked me to send us a quick sample or a link. I sent them. They said, okay, you're going. I said, okay. So I left to Vegas. Now, mind you, this was before the Summer League was even a Summer League. This is back when nobody would go.
Yeah.
It was just there. So I tried it, and that was my first taste to it. And I started liking it to the point where I'm thinking, like, why did my guidance counselor tell me to go this path? I should have gone this path. Yeah. And it grew, and I wanted more and wanted more. And I said, you know what? I think I have a natural inclination to this. I think I have somewhat of a natural talent for this. Mm-hmm. But my path to where I am now, I can't believe it. I can't believe it happened like this, from a blogger to going to be recruited by a San Antonio based Tegna competitor. Uh-huh. And I was with them just one day. They just said, hey, we like what you're doing at this website. Can you do this? And we're going to hire you. And I was like, what? And we're going to give you the keys to the car, and we're going to give you your own TV show. Cover the Spurs. Sure, I'll do it. Left with them for years, and then Tegna came knocking on the door, and then Locked On Network came knocking on the door. And yeah, here I am now. Who knew?
That's a pretty great story. Yeah. I mean, you love that when it kind of comes together, especially when it's a passion of yours. You mentioned your time, blogging, and then the ability to kind of jump to TV. Throughout that process, is there some mentors that you might have encountered? I mean, this is obviously not an easy career for anybody, so you definitely need that support there and someone to kind of guide you along the way.
Yeah, at the my first jump from leaving the fan blogging world to the actual media world, where this is a major San Antonio outlet, TV outlet, there was a man there, and his name was Bob Gambert, and we had a lot. First, we were just friends. We just became really good friends. But he saw something in me. He kept on pushing me and urging me. And even when I wasn't working with him, I was still at the fan blog. He would always give me advice. And then that's when he approached me, or I think I approached him, and I reached out to him, to tell him, like, hey, I'm thinking about moving away. Look, I don't have any experience in major TV outlets like you guys, but what do you say? What do you think? Trial basis. He goes, here are the keys to the car. We've seen what you did. I know what you can do. And I've seen you on TV when we would, have some fun, at the station. Here you go. Go for it. And I was with them from about 2014 till about 2020-21, honing my skills. And he would constant feedback, TV, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this right. Urging me, encouraging me. If I had even the most dumbest idea in my head, he would say, no, let's work with it. So he was very instrumental and just being so encouraging, so positive, always with a smile. And he would always say, at the end of the day, whether it's with me at my outlet or at a competitor outlet, I just want what's best for you. And he was really, really big in my path.
So great to have those people because, mm-hmm. I mean, who knows where we'd be without them, right? I mean, sometimes you need that, just that opportunity. And then also mm-hmm. someone to kind of kick you in the butt and be like, hey, that doesn't work, do this, or you know, whatever you need to get a little bit better. We talked a little bit about it, but obviously there's an underrepresentation of maybe the demographic in San Antonio on mm-hmm. TV, in writing, in sports mm-hmm. media in general. Do you kind of take it upon yourself to, you know, really try to be a good representation? Obviously, you want to do good for yourself in general, but also mm-hmm. to show other people that this can be done and it should be done.
Yeah. And I think now at this point, I'm looking at the landscape, especially in San Antonio, and I am just stunned. I'm baffled. You know, you have, as we mentioned, an overwhelming majority is a Mexican culture, mm-hmm. is Hispanic people in general in San Antonio. It's just so overwhelming. But you look on TV and we're not there. Mm-hmm. You look in writing, beat writers, they're not there at all. At all. There's been some that come and gone, but there's never been a stable face, a permanent, consistent face on television, in print. Now, I give San Antonio credit on radio. Thumbs up. Thumbs up. They got it. Radio representation is there. But TV and print, it's horrible. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I'm probably the closest they have to the face of a San Antonio Spurs beat writer in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I'm probably the closest they got. I'm, you know, forgive me. There's somebody else out there in San Antonio. I'm sorry, but I checked and I cannot find another one. Look at the major newspaper outlet. Nothing. You look at some of the major TVs. No, mm-hmm. it's not there. It's not there. It's not any heavy presence. And I think they need that. I think San Antonio desperately needs that. And it's been like, and it's not a recent thing. This has been going on for years. Mm-hmm. So, but I think slowly but surely you're starting to see the turn little by little. And I think I'm part of that front. And when it comes to this specific demographic, the Mexican demographic, and I hope it gets bigger, but it really feels like it's just at a crawl right now. Like something's got to give. So I took upon it myself to join the San Antonio Hispanic Journalism Association. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will help me help usher in something or just be a spark for something. But trust me, there are, I think the next wave that'll come after me, then we'll see it. I think we're going to start seeing that, especially in San Antonio.
Hopefully, of course. I mean, I'm sure you experienced what I experienced growing up. You don't see a lot of yourself the mediums that you want to be in. So you're wondering, is that even possible? Is that a thing I can do? Because you don't see it. So I know I take that responsibility on when I'm, you know, reporting. I try to be, you know, the best I can be. What kind of stories do you try to tell? What do you try to convey to set a good example for, you know, maybe people watching that think they might want to do it someday?
Yeah. And you know, just the Lockdown Spurs fans or just on the Tegna side of the writing side that I do for Tegna fans, they're encouraging me. So if another outlet gets a representative for a sports position, they will say, that should have been you, Jeff. That should have been you. You should have gotten it. Mm-hmm. So you can feel the desire for that representation. Yeah. And I'm proud that they look at me to try to go in that direction. Now it's just about, you know, kicking the doors open and saying, hey, look, we've been here. We're here. We can do it just as well. Trust us. We got this. And I think it needs to be addressed. And that's something that really, really, it gets my passion going. It's like, come on, San Antonio, we can do better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think our Locked On viewers know we bring a very unique perspective to all the teams that we cover because we're so hyper local. You are super hyper local, if I should say that, because you've grew up in San Antonio and you've been around the team for so long. So what are some of the things that you feel like you can touch on that maybe other people aren't aware of and can kind of bring to the job that you do just for having been around the team for so long and knowing of it so long?
Yeah, I think that's kind of difficult to answer because it's kind of been the same, you know, since Popovich arrived, there really hasn't been much. It's very the same blueprint. You know, at this point, everybody should have heard or know about what the team under the current Popovich regime preaches. It's check your ego at the door. No bozos on the squad. Everything is lock and key. And the Spurs, you know, I mean, look, if you go back in time, it wasn't the major outlets that revealed that LaMarcus Aldridge was on his way out. It was Popovich. It wasn't the major outlets that reported that Becky Hammon was on her way out. It was Popovich. So they kind of keep things in a vault. So I guess my, you know, for those that are looking to go in the direction of the Spurs, just brace for that. You know, you're almost like kind of barking at a wall, but I do give the Spurs credit little by little. You know, they're kind of easing up a bit. Credit to the Spurs, at least this season, they've been good about, you know, saying, hey, would you like to help us break some news? Whether it be from their G League team, revealing new jerseys, to the organization saying, hey, Jeff, we want you to break the news that we're going to dive into mobile gaming. Mm-hmm. Could you help us out? So I do give the Spurs credit there. I mean, they're starting to crack the door open a little bit. So, and also I think a big shout out to them, because for them, maybe not for other entities, yeah, but for the Spurs, they've given me, and for those of y'all who don't know, the NBA has a new tier media pass system this season, and I've given the tier one the highest. So they allow me to go into the locker rooms. So mm-hmm. I think that is a big, big step in the right direction. So credit to them. But yeah, they're definitely going in the right direction.
And some great validation for the work that you've done, mm-hmm. obviously, for them to recognize that and see that you're top tier, literally, in covering their organization. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned it a little bit, but these are a little bit of different times for the Spurs, yes, because they're not the team they have mm-hmm. always been. So for you, that must be interesting and kind of unique to cover now, to see mm-hmm. them in this process, rebuild, right, whatever you want to call it. And then also, however long Coach Popovich will be around and involved mm-hmm. with the team.
Yeah, it's different now. As a fan, I've gone through, I think this is my third rebuild with the organization. I had the initial wave with the ABA when they came in, and then the pre-Robinson era, and then now. So I've, mm-hmm. I've gone through three rebuilds, but this is the first one where I'm actually, you know, covering it.
Yep.
But then it was just a fan. I was like, okay, well, whatever, you know, they'll fix it. But now I get fans asking me questions like, should they trade Jakob Poeltl? You know, no, they just should keep him too. When is Pop leaving? You know, something's got to give. So now I'm on this end. And as far as covering them, you just got to get creative. I think you have to understand that the fans, they know what it is. In the season, it is what it is. It's a down season, the first in decades. Mm-hmm. So you got to start getting creative. I think this season, what I'm trying to do is shed light on the new generation of Spurs. Mm-hmm. So that being, whether it be Jeremy Sochan, the rookie, Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, as of right now, they're still part of the team, and this may be the core. So the idea I have been having this season is let's cover the babies and watch them grow up. Kind of like when you see your favorite kid TV star. Yep. And you say, hey, we grew up with them. Now look at them. They're 20 years old. Yeah, back when they were just 5 years old on Family Ties. And now look at them. I think that's the same idea here. It's just, let's get to know these kids and see their path. And, you know, going back to the Spurs, and yeah, they had asked me, like, when I was in the locker room recently, they're like, well, who do you want to talk to? I said, I don't really care. Just give me a veteran player. They're like, okay, well, why? And I said, oh, I think I'm going to start doing a feature on the veterans reflecting on the rookies and their growth. And the Spurs were like, they took a pause. They're like, we like that. That's a good idea. They're like that. So yeah, I think that's the idea. Just let's see these kids nourish, get better, are they going to be part of the future? Are they going to be a trade ship? I mean, whoever thought that DeJounte Murray was going to get traded? Mm-hmm. Here they are. Derek White, same thing. Whoever thought they would trade them? So it is different, uncharted waters for most of the Spurs fans. But for an old guy like me, if it's just a rebuild, I'm like, you blink your eyes and it'll go by fast. The next thing you know, they're back at the top of the mountain.
It is different covering them now, I mm-hmm. will say. And especially I've covered the Patriots for a long time, and they're difficult in their own way as well. So when you say things like that, it kind of rings an alarm bell in my head, because when you have to be a little bit critical, you know, when they're trading people away, and not necessarily that they're doing the wrong thing, but, you know, people mm-hmm. are like, why are we doing this? You know, mm-hmm. you're trying to be the voice of a fan, like questioning things like that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've, I mean, I think I know that part of the answer, but you feel like you've earned enough respect. You can kind of ask those questions and yeah. have that voice and not feel like you have to, you know, spout a certain rhetoric necessarily in regards to the team.
Yeah. I'm comfortable at that point. I think mm-hmm. I have enough, I guess seniority, so to speak, yeah. with the team, where they know that I'm going to go in there and ask some ridiculous off the wall question to Bob or a player. They know it'll be serious, whether it be about player development, yeah. whether it be, you know, just simple, basic X's and O's. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the Spurs fans want to know that. Well, why did the Spurs give Jeremy Sochan the ball to inbound a play in Madison Square Garden and all that mess up there? Yep. You know, I feel enough confidence now where the Spurs would be, okay, yeah, you go for it, Jeff. You know, we trust you. I mean, they gave me a tier one media pass, so I think that should speak volumes right there. So, yeah. And then plus two, I try not to forget also my roots. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't like college and then jumped into media. My path was different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what fans like about me, is that I haven't forgotten my fandom roots. You know, it's okay when Locked On Spurs or we're laughing and reminiscing about the time where, you know, the water cannon went out in the 90s in the Alamo Dome. Like, oh, yeah, I was a fan there, too. I remember that. And I think that's what draws the connection, is that, like, hey, I'm not this stuffy guy in a suit and tie that just pen to paper and don't bother me. You don't know anything about sports. You don't know anything about the Spurs. No, I invite their opinion. I invite it. And I think that just helps me produce a better show like Locked On Spurs.
Absolutely. It's always important to have mm-hmm. that connection and remember where you came from. We're all fans at the end of the day. Right. And I think that's what makes people feel genuine mm-hmm. and people relate to that a lot.
Right. As well. Absolutely.
Jeff, Locked On Spurs is pretty well-rounded. You guys don't just do X's and O's. You talk about stuff that's important in the community. Mm-hmm. You talk about things, you know, that are important issues to anybody that might be in San Antonio. So what are some stuff that you guys have been covering lately that you feel like is important, not just from a basketball aspect?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this past Monday's Locked On Spurs is something that everybody should take a listen to. So we've been doing something new this season. We've been bringing in a doctor based out of Austin, Texas, Dr. Ryan McCorkle. He comes on once a week, you know, to talk about, for example, Devin Vassell's injury or Jakob Poeltl, you know, suffered this and whatnot. But this one was different because he wanted to, and I wanted to address some stereotypes about San Antonio, or just mm-hmm. somebody who doesn't understand the socioeconomic background of San Antonio. That was a former Spur, ironically, Steven Jackson. He hosts a show called All the Smoke Podcast. And in a recent chat with DeJounte Murray, he took a shot, kind of made fun of the people of San Antonio. He took a shot at the women of San Antonio, very Charles Barkley-esque, saying how women in San Antonio are overweight, that nobody does goes to the gym, and they were just making a lot of it. Now, you know, DeJounte, you know, kind of chuckled too. So basically that was kind of a cringe moment. And I think everybody should, especially if you're from San Antonio, go listen to that Locked On Spurs. Dr. Ryan McCorkle, he addressed, ways to, you know, for those in San Antonio that want to live a healthy lifestyle, and also why what Steven Jackson said was wrong about the people of San Antonio, because the socioeconomic makeup of the city wasn't factored in. Basically, he just took a very insensitive approach instead of a sensitive approach, as he maybe should have, but whatever he said. But mm-hmm. I think people don't understand that, you know, the socioeconomics background of San Antonio, not many people can afford, you know, the proper food or to maintain a healthy diet, mm-hmm. let alone memberships for gyms. So I think that's a very, very important Locked On Spurs that people really need to look at and listen to. It's on YouTube. It's everybody, Locked On Spurs YouTube page, as well as Odyssey app and everything. But yeah, check it out. You know, see why Dr. Ryan McCorkle says that was wrong. And if you're interested in learning how to properly maintain a healthy diet, go check it out. It's this past Monday's Locked On Spurs.
And Jeff, I'll mention it myself. I mean, that's why mm-hmm. it's important to have, you know, someone from San Antonio, proper mm-hmm. representation of the area to kind of give that perspective, because people, mm-hmm. you know, haven't been there, played there, but didn't understand, mm-hmm. you know, they don't understand that. Right. So mm-hmm. I think I'll say I appreciate your perspective, and I'm sure a mm-hmm. lot of other people do too, because, you wouldn't have it otherwise if you just are a reporter that came in and never lived there and don't understand. Mm-hmm. So that's a great point of view and perspective to have, certainly.
Absolutely.
And in that representation, you know, for kids out there right now that don't see themselves in that sports media job or whatever position it may be, what's some advice that you have for them to kind of motivate them going forward?
The first thing is perseverance. Don't give up. Keep on chopping that tree down. That's all I got to say. You look at me, you know, I kept chopping the tree and don't, you know, close any opportunities that come your way at all. My path was different. It was very non-traditional. I, you know, wasn't the, you know, going to communications, you know, degree, nothing like that. Mine was more based on experience and years of experience. This was not overnight at all. So if you're taking a very traditional approach, maybe the gap will be a little shorter for you because you have that education background that I don't have. But if you're just looking to get into it, I think overall, the overarching thing is don't shy away at trying new things, at the experience. I mean, look at me. I may, you know, covered Lockdown Spurs, but I started covering also the NBA 2K League. Try different things. Add more. Think of it like your portfolio and your investing. Diversify. Diversify. Let people know that you can do a little bit of everything, whether it be, in my case, Lockdown Spurs, NBA, or, you know, esports and NBA 2K League. You know, and I think especially trying to get into the NBA itself will recognize that and they'll start leaning on you, talking to you a bit more about that, involving you in things. And whether or it's an MLB or NFL, the same thing. If it's a very non-traditional path, just understand it's going to take a while. Have patience. Experience matters. Experience matters. And I don't care if somebody asks you to write about, you know, the mascot of the San Francisco Giants. Just do it. Take it and run with it and make it the best. Be consistent. Be concise. Be precise. And just try your best. And you're going to smack your face in the wall, but get up and keep on plowing ahead. You're going to make mistakes. I made mistakes. Everybody's going to make mistakes. Just learn from them.
Jeff, thank you so much for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. We appreciate hearing how you got to where you are and what you guys are doing today. Mm-hmm. Of course, all of our viewers can check out Locked On Spurs, wherever they get podcasts from, to check in with you guys on YouTube as well. And thank you for joining us on Paving the Way. Locked On and State Farm will be making donations to the nonprofit organization Everyone On to support our efforts to pave the way for others. Everyone On helps bring low-cost internet access and computer offers to those who need them in under-resourced communities. Thank you so much for being a part of our very first episode of Paving the Way. Subscribe to Locked On Presents and follow along as we highlight Locked On voices from across our network all year long.